Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate
vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
We're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 9, The Passing Away of Bhishma Dev. Text number 34. Yudhi Turago Turaga Turaga Rajo Vidumra Vishvak Yudhi Turaga Rajo Vidumra Vishvak Yudhi Turago Rajo Vidumra Vishvak Kacha, Lulita, Shramavarya, Alankritasye, Kacha Lulita, Shramavaralankritasye, Kacha Lulita, Shramyavaryalankritasye, Mama Nishita Sharayar Vididyamana Vibidyamana Mama Nishita Sharayar Vibidyamana Mama Nishita Sharayar Vibidyamana Twachi Vilasat Kavache Astu Krishna Atma Twachi Vilasat Kavache Stu Krishna Atma Twachi Vilasat Kavache Stu Krishna Atma Yudhi Turago Raja Vidhuma Vishvak Kachav Lulita Samavarya Lankritasye. Sorry. Mama Nishita Sharar Vibidyamana. Twachi Vilasat Kavaches to Krishna Atma. Yudhi Tarago Rajovid. Dhumra Vishvak Kacha Lulita Samavar Yalankritasye Mama Nishita Sharar Vibhidyamana Twachi Vilasat Kavachestu Krishna Atma Yudhi Tarago Rajo Vidumra Vishvak Kacha Lulita Samvibharya Lankritasye Mama Nishita Sharar Vibhidyamana Twachi Vilasat Kavaches to Krishna Atma Tarago Rajo Vidumra Vishvak Kacha Lulita Samavarya Lankritasye Yamana Twachi Vilasat Kavaches to Krishna Atma Yudhi Tarago Rajo Vidumra Vishvak kachalulita samavar yalankritasye. Mama nishita sharer vibhidyamana. Tachila vila sat kavaches tu Krishna atma. Yudhargo rajo vidum ravishvak. Kachalulita shamavarya lankritasye. Mama nishita sharer vibhidyamana. Tachivila sat kavaches tu Krishna atma. Yuditarago rajo vidum ravishvak. Kachalulita samavarya lankritasye. Mama nishita sharer vibhidyamana. Tachivila sat kavaches tu Krishna atma. Yuditarago rajo vidum ravishvak. Kachalulita samavarya lankritasye. Mama nishita sharer vibhidyamana. Tvachivila sat kavaches tu Krishna atma. Yudhi, on the battlefield, Turaga, horses, Rajaha, dust, Vidumra, turn to ashen color, Vishvak, waving, Kacha, hair, Lulita, scattered, Shramavari, perspiration, Alankrita, decorated with, Asye, unto the face. Mama, my. Nishita, sharp. Sharai, by the arrows. Vibhidyamana, pierced by. Twachi, in the skin. Vilasat, enjoying pleasure. Kavache, protecting armor. Astu, let there be. Krishne, under Sri Krishna. Atma, mind. Translation. On the battlefield where Sri Krishna attended Arjuna out of friendship, the flowing hair of Lord Krishna turned ashen due to the dust raised by the hooves of the horses. And because of his labor, beads of sweat wetted his face. All these decorations, intensified by the wounds dealt by my sharp arrows, were enjoyed by him. Let my mind thus go unto Sri Krishna. Shall we say it all together? On the battlefield where Sri Krishna attended Arjuna out of friendship, the flowing hair of Lord Krishna turned ashen due to the dust raised by the hooves of the horses. And because of his labor, beads of sweat wetted his face. All these decorations, intensified by the wounds dealt by my sharp arrows, were enjoyed by him. Let my mind thus go unto Lord Krishna. So let's just go over the word for word just a little bit more. So Yudhi on the battlefield, Turaga horses, Raja dust, Vidumra turned to ashen color. Very descriptive verse. We can see the scene. Vishvak waving, Kacha hair, Lulita scattered, Shramavari, perspiration, Alankrita, decorated with, Asye, unto the face. So Yudhi Tarago Rajo Vidumra Vishvak, Kacha Lulita, Shramavari Alankritasye. Can someone comment on the first two lines? Use the mic.
Seems as if Bhishma Dev is just relishing the beautiful memory of Krishna on the chariot and his service to his devotee Arjuna, and he's just marveling at the good fortune he had to have seen that.
Thank you. Anything else about it? In general or specific? Yes.
Well, one thing is there's a beautiful painting, BBT painting, that's in the BBT offices in Los Angeles of the scene of Krishna actually charging at Bhishma with the chariot wheel in his hand, and it's this magnificent scene. And this this description, it's kind of, how can you say that there's, you know, that he's focusing like so voluptuously almost on, you know, describing exactly how Krishna looked, how his hair was scattered, how his, you know, as if like an artist, a painter, I'm thinking like that, how they get so interested in form, you know, of how the beads of sweat, you know, all the details that mm-hmm. he's describing, that this beautiful vision had captivated his mind so much that he's describing in rapture the details, the way someone may, you know, write a poem about and muse about some a beautiful form, some form like that.
Nice, thank you. Anything else? I'm thinking of the scene also, Yudhi, on the battlefield. I mean, battlefields are places where, all, I mean, it's a very specific place, the battlefield. It can be a horrific place, the sounds, the smells, the experience, the kind of feeling soldiers get when they enter into that. It's a heightened state in and of itself. And the horses, the fact that there are horses present, you know, just having those kind of... having animals around who are also probably battle experienced and worn, you know, what kind of mighty animals they are, rippling muscles and, you know, decorated, and the sounds they make, stamping hooves and everything. This is very, you know, it's full of sound, it's full of description. And Raja, there's, you know, dust is flying everywhere. Vidumra turned to ashen color, very dramatic, you know, color. And Vishvak, waving hair, Vishvak Kacha Lulita, scattered waving hair, and perspiration is alankrita, it's a decoration. Generally, you don't think of perspiration as a decoration, but when you see it on the Supreme Lord, and when Bhishma is seeing it because of the mood he's in and how he wants to see Krishna, ye yata mam prapadyante tamstataiva bhajamyaham, according to the mood that one wants to see Krishna, he avails himself in a particular way. And because he was such a great Kshatriya warrior, Krishna's there and he's just relishing every bead of sweat on Krishna's face. It's a decoration, that's the decoration that he sees. He's overcome, you know, seeing him like this. Then mama, my, nishita, sharp, sharai, by the arrows, vibhidyamana, pierced by, twachi, in the skin, vilasat, enjoying pleasure, Kavache, protecting armor, astu, let there be, Krishna, Sri Krishna, Atma. And then he's shooting Krishna with his arrows and he's being pierced. And it's going into his skin. So he's, it's intensified, the whole experience of seeing Krishna in that way. And there's wounds by his sharp arrows, and just it's intensifying the scene of seeing him with those wounds. And then he's praying, as this is the perfection of life, astu Krishna Atma, let my mind go to Krishna like that. So perfection is that the mind can go to Krishna in some particular way. Purport. The Lord is the absolute form of eternity, bliss, and knowledge. As such, transcendental loving service to the Lord in one of the five principal relationships, namely Shanta, Dasya, Sakya, Vatsalya, and Madhurya, that is neutrality, servitorship, fraternity, filial love, and conjugal love, is graciously accepted by the Lord when offered to the Lord in genuine love and affection. Sri Bhishmadev is a great devotee of the Lord in the relation of servitorship. Thus, his throwing of sharp arrows at the transcendental body of the Lord is as good as the worship of another devotee who throws soft roses upon him. It appears that Bhishma Dev is repenting the actions he committed against the person of the Lord. But factually, the Lord's body was not at all pained due to his transcendental existence. His body is not matter. Both he himself and his body are complete spiritual identity. Spirit is never pierced, burned, dried, moistened, etc. This is vividly explained in the Bhagavad Gita. Verse. Kledyo yam adayo yam kledyo shosheva cha nitya sarvakatastanur achalom yam sanatanaha. Chandan jashani nainam dahati pavaka nachainam kledyan dyapo na shoshiyati marutaha. This is vividly. What verse numbers are those? Somebody look them up. It's probably in your shloka book. 223 and 224. So also it is stated in the Skanda Purana. It is said there that spirit is always uncontaminated and indestructible. It cannot be distressed, nor can it be dried up. When Lord Vishnu in his incarnation appears before us, he seems to be like one of the conditioned souls, materially encaged, just to bewilder the asuras or the non-believers, who are always alert to kill the Lord, even from the very beginning of his appearance. Kamsa wanted to kill Krishna, and Ravana wanted to kill Rama, because foolishly they were unaware of the fact that the Lord is never killed, for the spirit is never annihilated. Therefore, Bhishmadev's piercing of the body of Lord Krishna is a sort of bewildering problem for the non-devotee atheist, because those who are devotees or liberated souls are not bewildered. But those who are not devotees or liberated souls are not bewildered. Bhishmadev appreciated the all-merciful attitude of the Lord because he did not leave Arjuna alone, although he was disturbed by the sharpened arrows of Bhishmadev, nor was he reluctant to come before Bhishma's deathbed, even though he was ill-treated by him on the battlefield. Bhishma's repentance and the Lord's merciful attitude are both unique in this picture. Sri Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, a great acharya and devotee in the humor of conjugal love with the Lord, remarks very saliently in this regard. He says that the wounds created on the body of the Lord by the sharpened arrows of Bhishmadev were as pleasing to the Lord as the biting of a fiancé who bites the Lord's body directed by a strong sense of sex desire. Such biting by the opposite sex is never taken as a sign of enmity, even if there is a wound on the body. Therefore, the fighting as an exchange of transcendental pleasure between the Lord and his pure devotee, Sri Bhishmadev, was not at all mundane. Besides that, since the Lord's body and the Lord are identical, there was no possibility of wounds in the absolute body. The apparent wounds caused by the sharpened arrows are misleading to the common man, but one who has a little absolute knowledge can understand the transcendental exchange in this chivalrous relation. The Lord was perfectly happy with the wounds caused by the sharpened arrows of Bhishmadev. The word vidyamana is significant because the Lord's skin is not different from the Lord. Because our skin is different from our soul, in our case, the word vidyamana, or being bruised and cut, would have been quite suitable. Transcendental bliss is of different varieties, and the variety of activities in the mundane world is but a perverted reflection of the transcendental bliss, Because everything in the mundane world is qualitatively mundane, it is full of inebrieties, whereas in the absolute realm, because everything is of the same absolute nature, there are varieties of enjoyment without inebriety. The Lord enjoyed the wounds created by his great devotee, Bhishmadev. And because Bhishmadev is a devotee in the chivalrous relation, he fixes up his mind on Krishna in that wounded condition. Vande hum Sri Guru Sri Uta Padakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sakrajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvetam Sadvadhutam Harijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakanvitamscha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Srimate Divedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pashtyatyate Shatarane Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Tinamine Sri Barshaba Navi Devi Daitaya Kripabdaye Krishna Sambandha Vijnana Dayane Prabhave Namaha Madhuryo Jvala Premadya Sri Rupanuga Bhaktida Shri Gaura Karuna Shakti Vigrahaya Namostute Namaste Gauravani Shri Murtaye Dinatarine Rupanuga Virudhapa Siddhanta Dvanta Harine Namo Gaura Kishoraya Sakshad Vairagya Murtaye Vipralambara Sambodhe Padambujayate Namaha Namo Hinodaya Sakchidananda Namine Gaura Shakti Swarupaya Rupanuga Varayate Gaura Virbhava Bhomestvam Nirdesa Sajjanapriya Vaishnava Sarvaboma Shri Jagannathayate Namaha Vanchakalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Namo Mahavaranyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gaura Twishe Namaha Pancha Tattvatmakam Krishnam Bhakta Rupa Swarupakam Bhaktavataram Bhaktakyam Namami Bhakta Shaktikam He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabando Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Jayatam Surato Pangor Mama Manda Matergati Matsarva Swapadambojo Radha Marana Mohano Divya Vrindaranya Kalpa Dhrumadha Srimad Ratna Ghara Singha Sanastau Srimad Radha Srila Govinda Devo Krishtali Bisevya Manu Smarami Sriman Rasara Sarambi Vamshivata Tatastita Karshan Venu Swadir Gopir Gopinatha Shriestunaha Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavanishwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vrindai Tulsi Devai Priyai Keshavasya Vishnu Bhakti Pradi Devi Sachavachai Namo Namaha Sri Nishringha Jai Nishringha Jai Jai Nishringha Pralada Desha Jaya Padma Mukha Padma Bringa Matsamo Nasti Papapma Naparadi Chikashana Parihare Pilajame Kimbruve Purushottavam Yuvatinam yata yuni yunam cha yuvatau yata mano biramate tadvam mano me ramatam twayi bhumau skalita padanam bhumereva valambanam twayi jata paradanam tvameva sharanam prabho govinda balabe radhe prarte tvamaham sada Tariyam iti janatu, govindo mam twaya saha, Radhe Vrindavana Rishe Karunamrita Vahani Kripaya Nijapadabja Dasyam Mayam Pradiyatam Ande Nanda Vrajasrinam Padarenum Abhikshnasa Yasam Hari Gato Gitam Punati Bhuvanatrayam Namashrestam Manumapi Shachiputram Aptrasarupam Sirupam tasya gajam arupariyam maturim goshtavatim Radha kundam girivaramaho radhika madhavasham Prapto yasya pratita kripaya shri gurum tam natosmi Adadhana stridam danter idam jache puna puna Srimad rupa padam bhoja rajoham syam bhave bhave Hantaya Madhya Abala Haridasya Varyo Yad Rama Krishna Chanana Swarasha Pramoda Manam Tanoti Sahago Ganayostayo Yat Paniya Suyavasa Kandana Kandamulai Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sri Vasari Gaura Bhakta Brinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Yudi Turagara Jovidhum Ravishvak, Kocha Lulita Sambarya Lankritasye, Mama Nishita Sharer Vibidyamana, Tvachivilasat Kavaches to Krishna Atma. On the battlefield where Sri Krishna attended Arjuna out of friendship, the flowing hair of Lord Krishna turned ashen, due to the dust raised by the hooves of the horses. And because of his labor, beads of sweat wetted his face. All these decorations, intensified by the wounds dealt by my sharp arrows, were enjoyed by him. Let my mind thus go unto Sri Krishna. And in the Srimad Bhagavatam, in the 10th canto, the phenomena of how different kinds of devotees seek Krishna differently, as explained in the pastime when Krishna enters into the arena where the wrestling was to take place with Chanura and Mushtika, because, of course, Kamsa had planned to kill Krishna in many different ways, and those plans were falling apart fast because already the elephant, Kuvalayapida, that Kamsa had sent, it was a highly trained warrior elephant, very powerful, used to, you know, harassing and killing people. Krishna killed in short order, and he bewildered him. You know, he wrestled. He was a young boy, but he wrestled that elephant to the ground and killed him. And then he took the tusk, and he was sprinkled with some of the blood. Speaking of this verse, how chivalrous Krishna looked. And all the scene was from the vision of Bhishma Dev when Krishna was being pierced with arrows and his hair was flying and he was running with the wheel of the chariot. And Bhishma Dev was relishing this relationship with the Lord. So how handsome and heroic Krishna is to just trounce an elephant, you know, running back and forth, pulling him from different directions, finally driving him into the ground, breaking off his tusk. And then, you know, sort of slinging it over his shoulder with some of the blood sprinkled across, you know, it's very beautiful like that, and sort of marching in. And so when he came into the assembly where the wrestling was to take place with Chanura and Mushtika, which was the next or one of the other plans that Kamsa had for killing Krishna, because these were highly trained, very powerful wrestlers, even more powerful than Killer Kowalski and some of the others. The yogis who were present in that assembly, they looked out and they saw Krishna entering the assembly and thought that he was, they saw him as the super soul, because that's how they were meditating. Everyone meditates on something, just like in Lohi Bazaar in Vrindavan. The shopkeepers, they're meditating 24 hours a day on the rupee. And they become very expert at how to, the tone of their voice, the mantras they speak when you come into their shop. They're very powerful, actually. I've watched it. And I resist it every year because I try to get the shopping done as quickly as possible. But I observed it, you know, when I went in this year, going to the shop of Ganga Prasad. There's one, they're all trained like this because they all have this meditation as vaishyas, you know, to make, just as a yogi meditates on the super soul, they meditate on the rupee. And so I was watching some devotees in there buying some things, and as soon as they bought something, they said, then they'll say something else, like, you need chatter? And just by the way they say it, because they're so focused on it, that the potency of their voice, then, yeah, I think I need a chatter. In fact, I need 10 of them, you know, able to buy them. Anyway, everyone's focused somewhere, and the yogis there, they're thinking of the super soul all the time. When Krishna came into the assembly, they saw super soul coming in, and members of the Yadu dynasty saw their great hero who was a member of their family, and the young women saw the most beautiful Cupid coming into the assembly, and Krishna's parents, those who were treating him as a child and nurturing him, saw him as their helpless and, you know, adorable little boy, and each person saw him differently. Shukadeva Goswami commented on this, tam satam brahma sukhana bhutya dasyam gatanam naradarakena mayashritanam naradarakena sakam vijaru kritapunya punjaha. He noted how to Maharaj Parikshit that some people who are absorbed in Brahman realization, they see Krishna as the supreme Brahman. And those who are in the mood of servitorship, with awe and reverence, with Aishwarya, they see Krishna as the supreme object of service, and they worship him with reverence. Those who are in Maya, who are covered by Mahamaya, the external energy of the Lord, they just see him as a normal human being. It's mentioned here that common people with no knowledge who are influenced by the external energy. Krishna says, Tribhir gunamayar bhavir ebi sarvamidam jagat mohitam nabijanati mamebhya paramavyayam mohitam. This bewilderment by the external energy, the three modes, the three qualities of material nature, they're so powerful. They're modulating and combining different combinations, permutations, and intoxicating and affecting the soul who's normally aware of reality and the difference between reality and that which is temporary. Those who are tattvadarshis have become unaffected by the modes of material nature. They become dhira, so they're not affected like that. But Krishna says everyone else in the material world is affected by those modes, and therefore they don't know me, whom above the modes and inexhaustible. Tribhir gunamayir bhavir. They're coming, the modes are coming from Krishna. Ebi sarvamidam jagat mohitam namijanati. Everyone's bewildered, so they don't know his supreme nature over everything. So mayashritanam naradarakena means they just think of him as an ordinary human being. Naham prakashya sarvasya yoga maya samavrita mudo yam nabijanati lokamama jamavyayam. They don't realize his inexhaustible supreme position, and Krishna says they're covered by my external energy, and therefore he calls them mudhas or fools. Naham prakashya sarvasya. So mayashritanam naradarakena, they just see him as an ordinary human being. But sakam vrijaru kritapunya punja, as described in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, there's a class of very fortunate souls who are beyond the influence of the material energy, obviously. They're described by Krishna in the 15th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita that there's two kinds of souls, the shara and the akshara, the fallible and the infallible. And beyond the fallible and the infallible souls, there's the Supreme Personality of God in himself, who is beyond even both those categories. And the infallible souls who live with Krishna in the spiritual world in Goloka Vrindavan, Goloka namni nijadamni tale tatasi, it's his nijadam, it's his personal abode. And they relate to him actually as friends. Sakam vrijaru, they treat him as an equal practically, not in the same way that those influenced by Maya Mahamaya do, who think he's a common person like them, but because they're covered by Yogamaya, they relate to Krishna as a friend or a lover, or all the different relationships that are mentioned here. And Shukadeva Goswami says these are the greatly fortunate souls. Sakam vrijaru krita punya punja, as Prabhupada translated that, they have attained this position after heaps and heaps of pious activities. He's marveling that how they have attained this position to be able to see Krishna like this. So one thing is that these relationships with Krishna are extraordinary, actually. They are attained by those perfected souls who have gained a great fortune by the association of a pure devotee, and who are able to follow in the footsteps of the pure devotee to attain that position, or those who are eternally liberated, who are with Krishna always, like Arjuna. He travels with Krishna always in different situations and relates to him as his friend, and that's his service to the Lord. And for those who are, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur is commenting in this verse about how to understand this bewildering kind of relationship that Bhishma has with the Lord, that he's shooting arrows at him. I mean, those in Vaikuntha might think this is outrageous. When Gopakumar, those of you who have read Brihat Bhagavatamrita, know that Gopakumar was on his way back to Godhead because of the power of the mantra. He had received a mantra from the worshipful deity of his family. He came from a simple family, and they worshipped Durga in their family. And in a dream, Durga had come to him and said, here's a mantra. You should take this mantra. It's very powerful. And chant it. And he didn't know what it was. He was a simple person. In fact, he had no spiritual knowledge. He didn't know anything about the difference between the material or spiritual world, but he trusted Durga, so he took his family deity, he had some faith there, and he took the mantra and began to chant it. And the mantra itself, being Krishna, it carried him from one realm to another until he attained complete success, going back home, back to Godhead. As is mentioned in the Brahma Samhita, where we've read how Saraswati, divine Saraswati, comes before Brahma and says, chant this mantra, because by its utterance you will attain all perfection. And Gopakumar, at one point, he goes to Vaikuntha and he meets Narayan. Of course, his place, he's a coward boy. He's from Govardhan, actually. And it's his place in the spiritual world. And his worshipable deity is Madan Gopal. Krishna as a coward boy, very intimate and casual relationship. So in Vaikuntha, they have many rules and regulations. And they've heard about Krishna's childhood pastimes, you know, grabbing on the tail of a cow and getting dragged through the mud and things like that. But they see that as just a temporary thing that Narayan did once, or does sometimes, to attract people back to Vaikuntha somehow. They don't see those as the supreme pastimes. They have a completely different perspective in Vaikuntha. And so when Gopakumar went there and he saw Lord Narayan sitting on the throne, actually he didn't see the great Aishwarya of Narayan, because Narayan himself, being attracted to his devotee in this mood of intimacy, kept switching his form Gopakumar could see that actually, oh, there's Madan Gopal. So he would run towards him and say, Gopal! And the residents of Vaikuntha, like, put get the guards, you know, who is this? Who let him in here? You know, you can't do that here. Talk to Narayan like that. And after some time, feeling out of place in Vaikuntha, Narada Muni came to Gopakumar and told him, actually, I know you're feeling out of place here, but don't feel bad, because actually you're very fortunate. You belong to a different place. And he kept chanting his mantra, and the mantra took him eventually back to Goloka Vrindavan, where he met Krishna personally, and then they became inseparable. But my point was that in the process, he had gone to many different places and even served in Jagannath Puri and so forth, and for some time, and then felt a slight discomfort that this isn't exactly where I meant to be, and then went onward. So one thing is that as being pointed out here, every soul has a unique relationship with Krishna eternally. So nitya nitya sambandha, this is eternal tie with Krishna, and it's awakened by the association of a pure devotee and by the mantras that we receive through the pure devotees in the disciplic succession. This is what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said: when wandering in the material world, the soul, bewildered by the external energy, comes in contact with the devotee, and through the devotee receives mantra and instruction, two things. And by mantra and instruction, he wakes up from the spell of Maya and comes to know his relationship with Krishna. That instruction is necessary. It's sambandha gyan. One has to hear about and realize one's relationship with Krishna, with the material world, and understand where he is and where he's going. This is explained in the Sri Upanishad that one should know this temporary world with its temporary demigods, men and animals, and understand that he's in an ephemeral cosmic manifestation. And he should also understand the Lord's eternal position and his divine name, qualities, and so on and so forth. So one who knows this has progress in life, and it's going towards waking up his eternal relationship with Krishna. So now, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says that it's very odd to some people that the Lord is being pelted by arrows by Bhishma Dev, who's his devotee, and how to explain that. So he talks about this esoteric relationship Krishna has with some of his devotees as lovers. And there, you know, is explained even in the Brihat Bhagavatamrita how when Krishna met Gopakumar and he was letting him in on all the secrets of his daily routine, sometimes when he would, Krishna would stay out all night for rendezvous with the gopis. And he'd come back with scratches on his body from, you know, conjugal affairs. There's some, you know, scratching. And his mother was appalled. How did this happen? He said, oh, yesterday we were out herding the cows and we got led into some bushes. He's always trying to cover up for his activities. Anyway, in a very esoteric way, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains that sometimes in conjugal affairs, there's biting, and that some wound is left on the body. But that's not taken as violence, but it's pleasure. Indeed, esoteric. So in the same way, devotees who are related to Krishna, it's mentioned in another purport also, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says that sometimes it seems as if the devotees are being handled roughly. They may undergo severe tribulations in their life, even though they're performing devotional service, but they take it as great pleasure. Ashlishava parvatam pinashtumam adarshana marma hatam karotuva yata tatava vidadatu lampato prananatasta se eva para. This is the mood of the devotee, that however Krishna handles me, he sees it as he'll never give up his position of worshiping Krishna, and it intensifies the situation. In fact, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says that just like water is everywhere, and we take it for granted practically, but if you're in the desert and you're about to die because you don't have enough water, if someone brings you one glass of water, you'll pay $1 million for it. It becomes so valuable. So similarly, when Krishna puts the devotee in situations where he's separated from him or he feels helpless, then his mercy becomes even sweeter. And the so-called afflictions that come from his interaction in the world that make him take shelter of Krishna become a source of great sweetness and intimacy between him and the Lord. And another thing that Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says about that is that it also keeps out those who aren't sincere. Because when they see the struggle that the great devotees like the Pandavas have gone through and so forth, they think, this is not for me. And that's a good thing. As the author of the Chaitanya Charitamrita says, as he's explaining the intimate pastimes of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he says the intimate devotees of the Lord can understand these pastimes because they're already absorbed in the internal energy of the Lord. Therefore, they can understand them. He said, but people who are materialistic people, who he says rather harshly are like hogs and pigs, cannot understand. They don't have entrance into these topics. And he said, then that makes me even happier because they have no business there. They can't enter in. So in a way that some of these very mysterious kind of dealings that the Lord has with his devotees, it bewilders some of the people who have no business entering into them, and therefore they don't entertain them. Also pointed out in this verse is about how the Lord and his body are non-different. We sing these prayers in the Brahma Samhita, Chintamani Prakarasad Musu Kalpaviksha, and Angani Yasya Sakalendri of Ritimanti, the nature of the spiritual world, the nature of the Lord's body, how every limb can perform all the functions of the others. And we sing in the Ishopanishad, Om Purnam Adak Purnam Idam, the Lord's perfect and complete. And although everything emanates from the Lord, he remains the complete balance. He's the personality of Godhead. And his body is perfect and all spiritual. So there's no diminution in any of the pastimes where he appears to be pierced by arrows. It's only due to Leela. And there are many also bewildering pastimes the Lord performs, including his Mashala Leela, where he's leaving the world and it appears that he's pierced in the foot by a hunter. And then he leaves his body. And it's explained there also how he does this to give the atheists an avenue to say, oh, see, actually he was an ordinary human being, and leave the world like that. But the devotees know that the Lord's body is transcendental and eternal. So by understanding and knowing that, then the devotee becomes perfect and liberated. Janma karma cha me divyam evam yo viti tattvata. Tekva deham punar janma naiti mameti sorjana. The goal of life really is to know and understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead is Krishna, and his body is completely transcendental. He's the greatest hero of all heroes. Jayati Jananivaso Devaki Janmavado, although he appears in the family of Yadu. He's Jananivasa, he walks among the people, but he's actually the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Yaduvaru Parishat Swar Dorbira Sjana Dharmam. His two arms are so mighty that he can kill all of the demons and protect the devotees. And he's the shelter of moving and non-moving living entities. What else? Stira Chata Vijinana, Susmita Shrimukena, that he puts a smile on the face of his great devotees who are he's always interacting with. So concentrating our attention on the Supreme Personality of God and his pastimes, his leelas, and understanding him, Krishna says, janma karma chame divyam, that they're transcendental. And just by understanding those transcendental pastimes, we also become liberated. And he says, you don't take birth again here in this material world. So this is the point of meditation, to remember Krishna, to hear about his pastimes and how they're transcendental, as in the case of Bhishma Dev's relationship with Krishna on the battlefield. Although his body was pierced, it didn't hurt him at all. And he's all spirit. And at the same time, Prabhupada says there's a difference, of course, between our body and our soul. And that is the primary and foundational part of spiritual life, is understanding that I'm not the physical body. because practically everyone's bewildered into thinking I'm the body and relating to others as their body. And this bodily relationship has been going on since time immemorial, and to wake up from this spell of illusion is vitally important. We have great affection for the body, and the reason, only reason we actually have affection for the body is because the spirit soul is within the body and the super soul is within the body. How can you prove that statement? Yes?
Nobody cares for a dead body. It's disgusting.
Yeah. Prabhupada says, there's a very beautiful girl and everyone's attracted to her. As soon as the soul leaves the body, they're not attracted anymore. They take the body and throw it away within 10 minutes, as soon as the soul leaves. So it's something that's pashyanapina pashyati. The Bhagavatam says you see it, but you don't see it. See it? I see it. Now you don't see it. 2 minutes later. People who are surgeons, they're always cutting the body apart. And, they see it, but then they go outside and they're attracted to the external feature of the body, thinking there's something there. But actually what's really there, atmanam akilatmanam. Shukadeva Goswami says we're attracted to the soul of all souls, which is Krishna. And we can realize that through transcendental sound, by hearing about Krishna from the Bhagavad Gita and the Srimad Bhagavatam, hearing about the pastimes of the Lord and his devotees, and also by the mantra, by chanting Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare. Because Krishnam, Rup, Guna, Lila, they're all there within the name. Nam, Guna, its qualities are there in the name. Rupa, his form, is there in the name. His Lila, his pastimes, are there in the name. So by chanting and hearing in an offenseless way, then gradually everything becomes revealed. We'll know our spiritual nature, we'll know our relationship with Krishna, and we'll be perfectly situated by the association of Krishna in his holy name. Om Tat Sat. Hare Krishna. What other points did you want to... Yes, Narharipu. Could you pass on the microphone?
In this purport, Prabhupada mentions about mundane variety and transcendental variety, and he says that transcendental bliss is of different varieties, and the variety of activities in the mundane world is but a perverted reflection. So I wanted to know where, if there is a description of the different transcendental varieties of bliss, varieties of different transcendental bliss, which, if there is any description given.
All the descriptions in the Brahma Samhita and in the Srimad Bhagavatam are all about the varieties of the spiritual world. Like, Sriya Kanta Kanta Parama Purusha Kalpataravo Truma Bhumish Chintamani Kanama Itoyamamritam. We're used to all the varieties in the material world, and of course we know Urdhva Mula Mada Shakam Ashvatam Braharaviyam Chandamsi Yasiparanani Yasam Veda Savedavit. It's a reflection of the spiritual world. All the variety that's there by 180 degrees, it's reflected down here. We can understand that the movement, like Krishna asks, Arjuna asks Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita in the second chapter. He wants to know about the qualities, the nature of a self-realized person. What does he ask? How does he talk? How does he sit? How does he walk? Right? How does he sit? How does he walk? How does he speak? He wants to know how a self-realized person is situated. So then there's a way in which someone who's not self-realized is also moving. A non-self-realized person sits in a certain way, walks a certain way, talks in a certain way. So that's the variety and the activities of the material world. And those activities are based on karma. Everyone's moving because they're in debt. They have to move. They're forced to continue paying for the enjoyment. There's enjoyment and suffering, and they're paying, for those debt. Devarshi bhutapnam rinam pitranam. They're rine. We're debtors because of our past karma. But there's a different kind of movement. There's a different kind of variety that's described where there is dancing. What's a different kind of movement than moving to, you know, to maintain oneself or to find some future happiness in the material world? It's if someone's moving out of joy, for instance, it's inexplicable practically. Someone's dancing or jumping for joy, then they're full up, and they're simply, you know, dancing, singing out of joy, out of happiness. So in the spiritual world, the movement's like that. There's no profit motive, and there's no debt to pay. But out of joy, they're so happy, and they're so contented, and they're so absorbed in Krishna that they're dancing, and they're speaking, and all their movements are like that, as absorbed in Krishna. So the same movements are there, the same kind of movements are there, but it's for a completely different motivation. And all the varieties, in fact, when Gopa Kumar goes back into the spiritual world, it appears at first that it's very hard to distinguish between that and the world that he saw, like in Boma Vrindavan. Trees are there, land is there, the people are there. It's very hard to distinguish at first. But then when he meets the people and the quality of the people, like some of the first people he met were some older people around their house, and he tried asking them about where's Krishna, and they didn't speak to him. And at first he thought that they were just being rude, and he thought, what kind of place did I come to? They don't even talk to me. They think I'm a stranger, so they don't say anything. But then he found out that because Krishna was gone for the day, they were stunned and they couldn't talk. They were so afflicted by separation from Krishna just for, you know, a few hours that he was gone in the forest, they couldn't speak. And this is the different kind of village that he was entering into, where everyone's absorbed in thinking of Krishna. So the activities of those who are non-motivated, you know, their intention within their heart is to serve Krishna. When you're around such persons, the quality of the association is completely different. The variety of exchanges is there, but it's on a completely different level. If you meet somebody who has no motivation in their heart to exploit you, they're only thinking of what your benefit is spiritually and how to give something to you, then your experience is entirely different from somebody else you may go to a luncheon with and sit down, and they may give you a variety of food just like the other person, but they're thinking the whole time, you know, okay, now when are we going to close this deal? What am I going to get out of this guy, you know? That's the motivation of the material world. There's always something, what's in it for me? But in spiritual life, it's the pratipurvakam. It's out of love. It's moving out of love. The same variety is there. Prabhupada points this out in the Dadati Pratigrinati verse, that there's exchanges in the material world. You're giving food, you're taking food. That's what everyone's doing. Look around. It's all restaurants everywhere you go. That's what a downtown area means. It means restaurants and a few other little shops for some necessities. But basically, people want to go out and eat and talk. But mostly there's some exchange going on different levels, but in material consciousness, it's motivated. I want something from you, you want something from me, and so there's a motivation behind it. But as he points out in the Pritipurvakam, you're exchanging food out of love, and you're giving prasad, accepting prasad. You're speaking in such a way that you're revealing your innermost realizations and hearing from others about theirs. And giving gifts. It's not out of obligation even, it's out of love. So that's a different kind of variety, and it's all really based on the motivation that's within one's heart. So in spiritual life, it's pure. It's not affected by motivation for personal gain, because everyone is thinking of how to serve Krishna. And out of love for everything related to Krishna, they're giving their full attention. Prabhupada mentions this in the Srimad Bhagavatam about how in Vaikuntha there's beautiful men and women there. And they're traveling together in beautiful airplanes and everything, but he said they're not afflicted by sex desire, by mundane sex desire, because they're fully absorbed in love of God and thinking how to serve Krishna. So the same variety is there, but the motivation is completely different. And it makes all the difference in the world. As Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami says in the Chaitanya Charitamrita that there's two things. There's love and lust. He said they may look like the same thing to others, but he said actually the difference is between iron and gold. Obviously, lust is like iron, and love for God is like gold, and they're not the same at all because, for instance, the gopi is given an example. Arajo Bhagavan Vrajesha Tanyas Tadama Vrindavana Ramya Kachudupasana Vrajavidu Vargina Valkalpita. The highest method of worshiping Krishna was exemplified by the gopis of Vrindavan, according to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And what was their method? You know, they decorate themselves. But the only reason they decorated themselves is they're thinking this will please Krishna. They're not thinking, how do I look? You know, because I want to stand out and be recognized as better than others or something like that. But they're thinking always, how will this please Krishna? And any of their activities are based on Krishna's pleasure. And in being the object that's enjoyed, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami says, they actually enjoy 10 million times more than Krishna does. There's the ashraya and the vishaya. The ashraya is Krishna and the vishaya is Vishaya is Krishna and the ashraya is the living entity or the devotee. And so Krishna is enjoying the living entity because he's the Purusha and we're Prakriti, actually. And those who agree to be enjoyed when they enter in that position to be enjoyed by Krishna, that's their whole existence. How can I increase Krishna's enjoyment? Then Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami says, they enjoy 10 million times more than Krishna. That's why Krishna comes as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, because he thinks, they're enjoying more than me. And Krishna's the supreme enjoyer, so he says, I'm going to be a devotee too. So he comes as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to also take this position of ashraya and be enjoyed by Krishna and act like a devotee because it's so pleasurable. So really, you know, the variety is there everywhere. In fact, the material world is all it is variety. There's not one particle in the universe that's the same as another. This is known as Vaisheshika philosophy. You look at the Vaisheshika philosophy and it's all about how there is no particle. Every Vishesha means unique. Every particle in the universe is unique. There's no particle the same as another. And it's a fact. There's no soul the same as another. There's no atom, particle anywhere within the universe the same as this. It's remarkable, you think about it. I used to hear that as a kid. There's no snowflake the same as another. Are you sure about that? Let me take a look. But it's true. There's no snowflake. There's no grain of sand. There's no raindrop. There's no star. There's no living entity. There's no body. Everything's unique. That in and of itself is interesting. And that's the material world. The variety's there. So the spiritual world, variety is unlimited also. But it really is about the state of the heart. And when there's only love, motivation to serve Krishna, then one's heart is as wide open as the sky. And everyone in that condition, these are described in the Bhagavad Gita, satatam kirtayantamam yatam tascha judavata namashyantashtamam bhakta nitya yukta upasate mahatmanastu mam bhakta Daivim prakritim ashrita, bhajantya nanya manaso gyatva bhutinam aviyam. The Mahatmas, they're great souls. It means they're not narrow-minded. They're not thinking about me and my thing, but they're thinking how to serve all living entities, how to serve Krishna. They're wide open. And being in that association, then, you know, all the variety becomes endlessly fascinating, also because devotees are always looking at variety and thinking how to engage in Krishna's service. This becomes the occupation of someone who's fully absorbed in Krishna consciousness. Sarva bhuteshu ya pashyet bhagavat bhavam atmanah. Sarva bhuteshu ya pashyet bhagavat bhavam atmanah. The vision of the uttama bhakta is seeing all the variety and thinking, his mood is always how to engage this in Krishna's service. So whatever variety, the mind's always churning and thinking, how can this be engaged in Krishna's service? And the materialists are always thinking how to engage the material resources in their own service. In fact, in Milton's Paradise Lost, which is an epic poem that he wrote. You know Milton? His famous English writer, the blind poet. Anyway, he wrote this very famous, very long poem called Paradise Lost. Prabhupada refers to it in the Srimad Bhagavatam. And in the poem, it talks about how the angels of heaven revolted, some of them. And they were cast down from heaven into hell because of their rebellious attitude. And they had a huge war with the Lord. Of course, it was one-sided because the Lord's all-powerful. So he cast them down. And they ended up in hell, and he describes the varieties in hell, and there's a lake of fire you might have heard about before when you're out preaching, because according to some, we're going there. The lake of fire is there, and then these people, there's one character there, he gets to the lake of fire, and he's saying, well, it's not so bad. I think we can mine some gold out of this thing. He's in hell, you know, he's thinking how to get something, material profit out of it, and that's the materialistic mindset. But the devotee's always thinking how to get something for Krishna out of it. So, anyway, just some ramblings about the, variety and things like that, but it's really, there's variety everywhere, material world and spiritual world, but this material variety actually becomes spiritual variety by the touch of a person whose motivation is to engage in Krishna service, then it actually becomes spiritualized. So, Hare Krishna. You were going to say?
I was just going to, just an observation, that when you said that the living entities in doing everything for the pleasure of Krishna are also getting the enjoyment, must mean that Krishna is reciprocating to them, that as they are relating, he's giving it back. Often that example is given about watering the root of the tree, and it says that the nourishment goes everywhere in the plant. It's like you give it to the root, and the root is distributing to the whole plant. So there must be reciprocation coming, whereas in the material world, it's like one-ended. When you say somebody's exploiting somebody, they are not in that mode of intention to give back to that person from whom they are asking. It's a one-way thing, whereas this seems to be like a two-way.
Yeah, Prabhupada tells a story. Nice point, thank you. He tells a story about how the senses went on strike because they thought the stomach's taking everything and we're working so hard. And he's just sitting there and we're picking out all the food and doing all the cooking and, feeding it, and it goes down the gullet and into the stomach. And what does he do? He just enjoys. So they say, forget it. We're not going to serve him anymore. So they stop. And then after a week or so, they become so depleted that they reconvene their council and say, well, maybe he was serving a purpose. And they start feeding the stomach and immediately they become enlivened again. Everyone, of course, who's, pursuing and persisting in their practice of devotional service has had this experience of being a part and parcel of the Lord. I can remember some very distinct times in my own involvement in devotional service. Once I was cooking for Rathiatra in Los Angeles, and it's become an easier yajna over the years because we've developed so many systems and everything to make everything more efficient. I remember in the early days, I'd be there for like 4 or 5 days cooking nonstop sometimes. And I remember once I was over the wok frying, and I was there for hours and hours. Maybe it was the fumes, I don't know. But I had this experience where, my arm was going in and I was taking out we were frying those potato rackets, thousands and millions of them, and taking them out over and over again, same kind of activity. And after so many days of being there, I just felt all of a sudden intrinsically like I was a limb of Lord Jagannath. Because I was sort of, in a sense, sort of just absorbed, or I'd say almost mindlessly doing the service. And, my arm was going out, I was doing over and over again. And I was just thinking like, I'm serving Lord Jagannath and this is for him. And I almost felt like, I felt like a part and parcel all of a sudden. I just had this overwhelming experience, like, yeah, I'm a part, I'm just serving, and I felt completely satisfied. Like, this is satisfying, just being in this service right now, and I just want to stay here, because this is who I am. I'm a limb. And Lord Chaitanya confirmed that when Advaita Acharya was studying and preaching the Bhagavad Gita, he came to one verse that he couldn't understand. So he started fasting because he wanted to realize and understand every verse. Sarva Paninipadam Tat, that verse from the 13th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, where it says, my limbs, my arms and legs are extended everywhere, such as how the super soul exists. And he couldn't understand the verse, so he fasted. And he was not going to eat until he could understand it. So later, during the Mahaprakash ceremony, where Lord Chaitanya revealed that he was the Supreme Personality of God, he was telling all the devotees about how he had interacted with them in their previous lives and in this life in ways that they had no idea. And that, you know, he revealed that he was there with them all the time. And one of the things was Lord Chaitanya revealed to Advaita Acharya how he had come to him and revealed him the meaning of the verse, which was that, you know, his devotees are everywhere serving him in different capacities. So, you know, his arms, his legs were actually limbs, were angas of Krishna. Mamai vamsho jivaloke were amshas. And when we act as amshas, then we feel full satisfaction. We're, you know, it's achinta bheda bhetaffa. We tend to emphasize the bheda, that we're separate from Krishna, because we're personalists and we're fighting against the maya bodies all the time. We say, no, we're separate. We have a separate existence. But we're also one. It's one and the same simultaneously, that we're actually part of Krishna. We are part of Krishna. It's not that we're completely separate. We're simultaneously one and different. So in fully absorbed devotional service, you know, we become Krishna. Wow, that was heavy. Brahmarpanam brahmahavir brahmagnau brahmanohutam tenaiva brahmagantavyam brahmakarma samadhina. Krishna confirms in the Bhagavad Gita that everything becomes Brahman when it's engaged in the service of Brahman. He uses the example of the Shruk and the Shrava when you're doing the fire yajna. You know, typically the Brahman every day would do a fire yajna. And then all those things, because they're engaged in feeding the fire, you know, he says the spoon, the everything, the ghee, the offering, and the person who's offering it into the fire. The fire is Brahman, it's the tongue of Vishnu, and then the offer, person giving the offering, he's Brahman also. It all becomes Brahman. Of course, we understand it properly by the grace of the disciple of concession. Vedanti tat tattva vidas tattvam yaj gyanamadvayam brahmeti paramatmeti bhagavaniti shabdite. It's advaya gyan tattva, it's non-different. But there is variety, unlimited variety, and that's the mind-boggling part. And that's where Ananda comes in. You know, variety is the mother of enjoyment. There's unlimited variety in the spiritual world. And Krishna's doing it for his own enjoyment. He's expanding himself. Bahu eko bahushyam. The one has become many for his own enjoyment. He expands himself into the living entities to enjoy. Just like a family man, he wants to have children because then, you know, there's a bunch of little me's running around, little mini-me's, and he can relate to them and have, you know, have fun and talk to them. So Krishna's like that too, but, you know, they're eternally expanded for his enjoyment, and every living entity has a specific purpose to fulfill, some service to the Lord that's expected, and it's completely satisfying, and it's eternal, and it goes on forever. So we can realize that through the process given by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and enter into even the most intimate kind of relationships with Krishna by his mercy, the kind of devotional service that he was passing down to us. Yes?
Ruji, I have a question regarding Brihat Bhagavatamrita. I want to understand, why was Brihat Bhagavatamrita written, and is it just a novel or...
Is it just what?
Novel or...
No, not a novel. What it is when the Srimad Bhagavatam was spoken, Maharaj Parikshit's mother was there. You've seen the picture of all the sages who crowded in, right? And she wasn't able to get close enough to hear the whole thing, what was going on, because I guess the sages were crowding her out or whatever. things haven't changed. After Parikshit Maharaj heard the Srimad Bhagavatam from Shukadeva Goswami before he was killed by the snake bird, there was a period of time in which Uttara came to him and asked him, can you tell me for my own enlightenment, I want to know what the highest thing is. You just heard it, but there's not much time. You can't recite 18,000 verses again back to me, which you could have done, but there wasn't time. So he said, you know, give me the essence of it. And Brihat Bhagavatamrita is the essence of the Srimad Bhagavatam, basically expressing, you know, what is the goal, what is the objective, the essence of what Srimad Bhagavatam is about. And that was, there is a Nija Dham, there is a personal Dham of Krishna, where there are personal associates of Krishna who have a very specific, particular kind of love for Krishna that's not ordinary in this world. And that's the culmination of the Srimad Bhagavatam, of course, of where we understand about Goloka Vrindavan and how the devotees relate to Krishna in their loving exchanges. And so he related that to Uttara and spoke that back. And that was again heard in that assembly and then re-spoken again, and that became the Brihat Bhagavatamrita. So it's the essence, it's the cream of the cream.
So it is written by Sanatana Goswami.
It's written by Sanatana Goswami, but this is the nature of revealed scripture. I mean, you can go through and say, well, Bhagavad Gita, you know, wait a minute, Sanjaya is the one who's actually revealing the Bhagavad Gita, because he was given a benediction by Vyas that you could see what was going on, because Dhritarashtra was like, I don't know if I want to see this. He's going, this battle of my 100 sons, I'm totally attached to, and they're going to go in and they're going to fight. And I'm really hoping they'll win, but he has this deep-seated feeling that they're going to be creamed because Krishna's on the other side. So he's like, all right, I don't want to see it. Because he could have gotten the vision himself, some benediction, but he passed that benediction on to Sanjaya that he was able to recount to him and see everything in his heart, what was happening on the battlefield, and relate it. So that's what he did. So how does that happen? I mean, revealed scripture is, you hear in the Chaitanya Charitamrita how the author is talking about the inner mindset of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and of his devotees and things. And this is the nature of this esoteric revealed scripture, because it is something, tesham satata yuktanam, bachatam pritipurvakam, tadami pudiyogam tam yenamam upayanti te. To those who are very specifically and utterly devoted to the Lord, he reveals his own nature. In fact, he can't not. This is revealed in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, that for the intimate devotees of the Lord, they actually conquer the Lord, in the sense that even if the Lord wants to not reveal it, it becomes revealed to the devotees. As in the case of when Krishna tried to hide from the gopis by assuming a four-armed form of Narayan, and they ran by and offered obeisances, to Narayan said, you know, Om Tat Sat, where's Krishna? Did you see him go this way? And then Radharani came by, and then he couldn't maintain it. You know, and there are other pastimes. Ramananda Roy, you know, began to see Lord Chaitanya, Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Radha Krishna Nayanya, that he's Radha and Krishna. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu tried to cover it up and said, no, you know, you pure devotees, you see God everywhere. You know, of course, you'd see it in a tree, you'd see it in me too, you know. But he couldn't keep it from Ramananda Roy. Finally, he revealed Radha and Krishna, the form. So he can't hide, because Ajita Ajito, the Jita, the conqueror, the supreme conqueror Krishna, becomes conquered by this love. This is the whole theme of the Bhagavatam. This is the idea behind the Ratha Yatra that we have. It's very esoteric how Krishna is conquered by the love of his devotees, and they're dragging him back to Vrindavan, basically. So
Prabhuji, yeah. So the Brihat Bhagavatamrita was not written down by Vyasadev. It was completely revealed.
Well, in a sense, in a sense, all these scriptures we say are, you know, many, many things written by Vyasadev through, he may have written some of them himself and empowered others. Just like, you know, sometimes there's a great artist who also teaches other people in the same school to paint just like he paints, and they'll paint under his direction and something. They were, this is all Picasso. I don't know if Picasso did that, but there are other artists who did. You had an important point, but we'll need the mic over there.
Brihad Bhagavatamrita was, according to Sanatana Goswami, was originally a part of a Mahabharata written by Jaimini Rishi. And it had been lost. That his whole Mahabharata had been lost, and this part of it along with it. So Sanatana Goswami didn't claim that he was writing it anew. He was just kind of bringing back what had been lost.
Yeah, even the reveal, any of the revealed scriptures is another example of the Jiva Dharma. This Jiva Dharma appears to be some kind of a setting, a novel or something like that, where there's all these characters and things like that. One time, a devotee asked Srila Prabhupada's godbrother, Srila Sridhar Maharaj, about this and said, what about this Jiva Dharma? Can I write a book like this too, you know, like in a novel form? And he vehemently objected and said, this is not a novel. He said, what is written by Bhaktivinoda Thakur is, you know, revealed scriptures. It's something that's it may appear to be like that, but ultimately it's reality being revealed within the heart of a pure devotee that's being recorded in these situations. So these, you know, revealed scriptures, which are coming to us by the grace of the devotees, as Prabhupada says, it's like, Prabhupada describes it like, as Sanjaya was seeing the Bhagavad Gita, he said like there was a television going on within his heart. He relates it to, you know, nowadays, what's the technology? You're sitting here and you're watching a cricket match and somewhere else on the planet, you know, in Australia, thank you. Lifetime. And, you know, it's practically mystic power, really, but we've duplicated it through technology. So on the spiritual level, on the more subtle level, and of course the devotees are privy to the Lord's pastimes because the Lord reveals within their heart what's going on, and then they reveal it to the world. That's the nature of the devotee, always telling Krishna. Somebody had their hand up. Yes. Microphone here.
In case of Chaitanya Charitamrita also, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, after Lord Chaitanya and all his Parshad left, he wrote almost 60, 70 years later, and he wrote as if he was seeing those things happening, and his details are so minute that it is, we are compelled to believe that he saw that himself. And that is by the mercy of the Lord. And at the age of 96, I guess, he was blessed with that, and he constantly pray on the lotus feet of the Lord, saying that, thank you for considering me that I am writing this down.
Yeah, and in fact, he recounts how it's a miracle that he's even doing it at his age. You know, he says, I'm about to die. I'm invalid. I'm practically blind. I mean, anybody here try to write a book yet? A pamphlet? It's not easy. I've been trying to write a book for a long time, and just to concentrate and sit down and, you know, oh, my leg hurts, I can't write. You know, what to speak of being invalid, blind, being 96, you know, years old. And that was his situation, and it just, you know, flowed from his pen. Everything came out. And look at Prabhupada. And Prabhupada talked about how he wrote all of his books. He told one devotee that it was like, he said, look at how I do this every day, like drops of water on stone, he said, drip, 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 and then finally there's a hole made. And he said, so every day I write something. But it was remarkable. I mean, the schedule Prabhupada kept at his age, traveling around the world so many times, it's very difficult. You know, just now coming back from the Far East, you know, being in India, then Japan, Thailand, and then flying back this way, takes me a week or so to adjust, you know, to come back to like, is it day, is it night, you know, where am I, who am I, all these types of things. And Prabhupada was constantly traveling and always sitting down, same schedule, writing. And you can see in this DVD that I'm passing out, there's a picture of him up to the last days when he's lying, he can't move his arms or anything, like he's totally emaciated. And Jayadvaita Maharaj is holding the dictaphone in front of his mouth. Pradyumna, who's working on the Sanskrit part, is standing next to the bed with the other BBT editors, and they're Prabhupada's dictating these, and you can read that. It's in the, these are the books we're distributing. This is what we're distributing. This is, it's not ordinary. You read Prabhupada's purports and you see it's not ordinary. Like in the second canto, every purport's like poetry. It's divine poetry and full realization of the spiritual world that, that's coming out. Anyone who reads it says it's not ordinary. That's why they're so potent. We distribute the books and people read them like, I got this thing. I'll just read it one more time. Some of the, there weren't, everyone wasn't here, but I met a person yesterday at the Harinam program when I was distributing books, who was hanging around the table. He already talked to somebody about some more books, and I said, how'd you get introduced to Krishna consciousness? And he said, I checked into a motel and I found a Bhagavad Gita in the drawer, thanks to Milan Doshi and Dilip Patel. I said, so you got to write me a testimonial. So I, he said, sure. And I handed him the book. He said, I got my first Gita in a hotel room, and ever since I read the first verse, my life has been ever increasingly in Krishna consciousness. Life is a journey back to Krishna, peace, Terence. And so these books aren't ordinary. So people read them, and then the truth gets revealed to them, and Krishna says, yes, you found it. You know, there's a correlation there. It's not an ordinary thing. Anyway, a lot of things to be said about that. So, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Gaur Bhaktivrinda ki jai, Harinam Sankirtan ki jai. End of the year, Christmas marathon, all out book distribution till the end of the last breath ki jai, Goprimanande Hari Hari Bo.